recording, I guess. So last night we heard a couple of sirens, about five of them here in the north. And it was something that was extremely frightening. And the unknown was so powerful, the unknown. And that's what we're all faced with right now. We're faced with a tremendous unknown. I mean, here in Israel, we feel it in a very palpable way. And in the world, it's felt in a palpable way as well, because Israel is the center. And when the alarm goes off in Israel, it's going off in the rest of the world. And for a while, we knew that the way things are going are unsustainable in many ways. And that happened for us here in Israel, as a society and as a community, where things were un it wasn't it just it was just crazy. Things that went on in during the Yom Kippur, public Yom Kippur in Tel Aviv, was something that was so heartbreaking. To see that we've forgotten that we're really one, that we're really one nation, that we're really one people, that we're really one world. We've forgotten it, and we're fighting. We thought the fighting brother against the brother is going to do something, but it doesn't, and it never will. And so I'm kind of starting at the end. And, you know, to tell you the truth, this is obviously very emotional and very raw for all of us. And making semblance of it, as we were saying at the beginning, Mark, you know, with trying to really make se semblance out of it is very difficult. Without digging deeper into a place inside of us, which is called Mesiras Nefesh. In Hebrew, that means giving over, giving oneself over, surrendering oneself to the will of Hashem, where we have no choice but to go all in and to do the impossible, basically, to accomplish the impossible. And that comes from a very deep place inside. So, excuse me if we're not 100% coherent at each point. This is obviously very, very raw and very, very emotional for all of us at this point. And it always will be, because our lives have been changed from last Saturday, from last Shabbat. Our lives have changed forever. We've just walked into something completely new, as we never knew it before. Last year was different than this year. The rules of the game have switched, have changed. And it started with this week. And it's a very powerful week this week. And it always has been. The first week of the reading of the portion of Bereshit, of Genesis, talks about the creation of the world. And there's an expression that says that the way that we lift ourselves up on this first Saturday, on this first Shabbat of the year, the way we compose ourselves after a whole month of holidays and the whole et cetera, and learning about and being imbued within the creation, each day is another creation, and it's our own personal creation. And we're getting to Shabbat and we're lifting ourselves up, because we're about to go into the world. Because at the after this Shabbat Bereshit, we start with trekking, you know. And there's an expression, it says, the Yaakov halach ledarko, Jacob went on his way. And there's a custom to wish ourselves that same journey, that Jacob went on his way. We're all this level of Jacob that's battling the forces that are around him or her. And he went on his way, trusting and being fortified and having this inner conviction. And Yaakov went on his way. And that's what we usually bless each other at the end of this Shabbat, after after composing ourselves and going into this, into it in a very, we could say, magnified way for the whole year. Generally, every single year, it's like that. This year, my friends, we are on that on steroids. We're on that in the most ultimate way, where we have been down, like very down. And it says that the way that we lift ourselves up on this Shabbat is the way the whole year is going to go. The amount of pain that is felt right now by so many is incomprehensible. And we are all feeling it. We are all feeling this collective void, this collective pain. So how do we lift ourselves up? What does that mean? The way that we get up on this Shabbat is the way that the whole year is going to go? How is it even fathomable? Well, I got some reports from friends of mine, you know, students that are there in the front lines in Lebanon. And they actually say, you know, it is absolutely unbelievable what's going on over here. You have no clue what's going on there on the front lines. There is so much dancing. There's so much camaraderie. There's so much love and unity that you have no clue the amount. They're dancing over there on the front lines. They are loving each other, and they are on the most incredible, incredible high that we could imagine. I mean, again, does this go for everyone? I imagine not necessarily, but on some level, yes. There is a feeling, and there's a state of incredible optimism within the down, which is a contradiction, and that is the ultimate contradiction that the Tanya says, that on the one side of our heart we've got cries, we've got sadness, and the other part of our heart we've got joy. They're contradictions. And how do they work? Right? That's just the secret of our being human and having our hearts. And again, the secret of the Jewish people, of being down so many times and then getting up again, but getting up in an unbelievably new way, in a way that's never been there before. So this Shabbat is this first Shabbat that we begin reading the story of Genesis, which is the story of creation. It's the story of our inner creation. And the Torah begins on the first day, Bereshit. Why did the Torah begin with Bereshit and not with a letter Bet and not with the letter Aleph? And what is the whole notion of Bereshit? Why did God start with Bereshit? So the sages tell us, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rashi, the famous commentary, says that the Torah should have started with the mitzvah of Achodesh Azelachem, that the first mitzvah in the Torah is the mitzvah of the new moon, which is the mitzvah which is given over to the first mitzvah given over to the Jewish people. We should have started there. But instead, we go and we start with the story of creation. We start the story of the land of Canaan being conquered and the whole trials and tribulations. Why? We should just start over there, where it makes sense that we shouldn't, because the Torah is a book of connection. And so we should start with a connection. And so the answer is Koach Ma'asa V'Gid Lamo, that God has, it's a verse in Psalms 111, that God has given his strength to his people, Koach of his actions to his people, to give them the nation of the seven nations, the land of the seven nations. There's a whole number of questions on this, which we're going to get to in a couple of minutes. But I just wanted to just set that up and to plant that, because we're talking about Bereshit and why specifically we start there. But right after that, Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz, the heaven and the earth, and the land was tohu vavohu. The land was unknown, was topsy turvy, right? It's a world of chaos, right? Veruach Elokim, and the spirit of Hashem, merachefet al pnei amayim, was hovering over the water. The Ramban says, based on the Zohar, that what's merachefet? Merachefet is Rucho Shel Mashiach. The spirit of Mashiach is already there at the beginning of creation. The whole story of the beginning of creation is already about the end of what the world in a rectified, fixed world, the world of loving kindness, a world of unity, what that's going to look like. It's already there at the beginning of creation. And then on the first day, what did God create? Or and Choshech, light and darkness. And God saw that the light is going to, if it's not contained, then it may be misused. And therefore, that light needs to be hidden. A portion of that light needs to be hidden. And at this point, we've got this seeming contention of light and darkness, whereas the real emanation and the real intensity of that light was contained. Otherwise, it would have been too strong for it to be there. So it was hidden. So we've got this level of or and choshech, light and darkness. And what did God say when he saw the light? Yehi or. He saw that the light was good. And he said, light is good. Choshech, darkness, is laila, is nighttime. Vayi erev, vayi boker. There was nighttime, and then there was day. Yom echad, it's one day. The night in Judaism comes before the day. The darkness comes before the day, because before we could appreciate the day that we're in, we have to be in a preparation state in order to appreciate it. Once we open up our eyes and our ears and get out of bed and be in this wondrous creation of his, and it's and blessings that we say over each part of that, we come from a place of not seeing that necessarily, of being unsure. And in Judaism, that's the order. Whereas in the Gregorian calendar, and it works that there's the day, but then there's the night, that it goes until midnight, and then the new day starts. Whereas it's about celebrating fast in this world, taking from this world. And then who cares? Like, who knows what will be? Like, let's eat, drink, and be merry. And for tomorrow, right? Whereas in Judaism, it's about real eternal light that we're really after. And so we are going through this darkness, and we're going through this challenge, and we've gone through this challenge throughout our history, where there's night and then there's day. And in the story of the Jewish people in Egypt, there was this night and day. Whereas it says that in the time of being in exile, they were in the state of night. But the 15th day of the month of Nisan, it was midnight. right? But it was like day. So the night turned into day, where they went out of Egypt in a way that there was light, that there was incredible light that they were feeling. And beforehand, b'chol Israel, all of Israel, haya or, there was light, b'moshvotam, in their dwellings. I saw an unbelievable, or I heard of it, and I'm looking to see it inside in the actual text, but then there's a text called the Or HaMeir. That's actually his name. He was a student of the Baal Shem Tov. Or HaMeir, what a beautiful name, the light of lighting. Well, he says the following about this verse, that Kol Yisrael, haya Or b'moshvotam, they had light in their dwellings. He says as follows. He says, Bet Moshvotam. If we take those letters, Bet, Mem, Shin, Taf, Mem, Bet Moshvotam, that spells out Taf, Shin, Pei, Dalet, which is this year. Kol Yisrael, that all of Israel, Haya Or, there was light. And this is the name of this tzaddik who wrote this. Haya Or, there was light. Bet Moshvotam, there was light in Moshvotam, in Taf, Shin, Pei, Dalet, which is now, which is today. The Arizal says that what is this light that was hidden? This light, Vayi Or, the ultimate light at the beginning of creation, was the light of Mashiach. Vayi Or, Vayarta Or Kitov, he saw that it was good. What's good? Mashiach is good. This light of unity, this light of goodness for the whole world. Vayarta Or Kitov, the Arizal says that the Or is good. But God took this light and put it, the gnazo, and he hid it for tzadikim, latid lavo. In other words, it's earning that light. Earning that light during the days of darkness. We're having that illuminated being, that illuminated consciousness, collective power that we've always had as a nation, is drawn from there, from that light. And in fact, those are the lights that we're lighting on Hanukkah, which is the next holiday coming up. What is the lights of Hanukkah? It's the light of the Or HaGanuz. It's the light of the hidden light. And that's what it says, that those candles of Hanukkah will always be there. They will always overcome the darkness. The candles of Hanukkah are the candles that will always transform this darkness, because it's drawn from that eternal light, which God has hidden and put it away. Latid lavo. Well, we are in a time right now that we are asked to be Mashiach, each and every one of us, to bring about the collectiveness, not in a crazy way, but in a way of digging in and actually living and actually being yourself, like fully, without being scared. Like, we could do it. Oh no, someone that hasn't worked on themselves, then they're like freaking out, and everyone is pretty much freaking out, because who's really worked on themselves? But at the same time, like, knowing that we've worked on, we're putting in the work. We know that we want to be there. We know where we have this shortcomings. We know that the self-doubts, like, how long are we going to put them there? When are we going to actually be? And this is what right now is happening. This is right now what is going on in Israel and in the world, where we are forced to be our light, Or b'moshvotam, to force that in the darkness. L'chol b'nei Yisrael hayu Or. Do you hear this? Chol Yisrael haya Or b'moshvotam is the letter Tav Shin Pei Dalet.
Wow.
From the Or HaMeir, the student of the Baal Shem Tov. The Chol Yisrael haya Or b'moshvotam is the light in your darkness, which we're all sitting in. Haya Or, there was light in the darkness, b'moshvotam. I'll tell you, this Hoshana Rabbah, which is this holiday, which spoke about, it was just last week where we talked about Hoshana Rabbah and that very powerful holiday. I had the feeling. So every year, I for some, I'm very connected to this day where we go around and we're asking, we're basically Hoshana, drawing down basically salvation for the whole year. And it's something that is very powerful. And I usually pray it as the chazan, you know, and this year I had the feeling that, first of all, like, why do we read the book of Devarim and the book of Tehillim? We spoke about that last week, if you remember. There's these two books are customary to read on that day of Hoshana Rabbah. So Devarim, Tehillim, but why? So there's reasons for that. But it occurred to me that what is the book of Devarim? It's the book of Moshe. Moshe wrote that. And what is the book of Tehillim? Book of King David. The Arizal says that who is Mashiach? He's a combination of the souls, the two souls of King David and Moshe. Where we take these, where we take the Mashiach, where we take that soul, that collective soul, and we are that soul. We bring it within us. It really just, for I was thinking that and I didn't share it for whatever reason. I was like, that's a powerful, like, but I kept it with me and I was like, what? And then, you know, when we're going through what we're going through right now, you know, we realize that we've already been gifted, we've already been given that power of Mashiach, that power of these two, of Moshe and David HaMelech. We've already been given that, and now we just have to be that. We just have to be that. We just have to believe that. We just have to take, dream big. We just have to go out on a limb. You know, we have to take a chance. We have to jump into the unknown. The unknown is never pleasant. And it, at this point, there's a lot of unpleasantness for all of us. And who are we to understand what you know, families are going through? But all of our hearts are broken, you know, of yet we understand that something new is emerging, that the old is going and it cannot be there anymore, and the new is coming. The Midrash says that, actually it's a verse in the prophets. It says that when Mashiach comes in the last war, and it definitely feels that way, that when Mashiach comes, it says very intense things. In the book of Zechariah, it says that that essentially two-thirds, I believe, of the world will perish. You know, and that has led people to, one second, it's that has led people to, like, anxiety beyond belief, and you know, and talking about the atomic thing of like, I don't want to be the other two, right? But there's another beautiful explanation which I heard today in the name of Ani Lipitz, who my wife shared that with me, and I thought that was like a beautiful, powerful, and true assessment and a true take on this. It says that two-thirds of the world will perish. It means the old self is going to perish. That to shed that old consciousness, that old self, that old way of thinking, that old, like, me and my you know, colonialism and hatred and power mongering and putting down the weak and the old and taking, usurping, you know, the rights of others. That's going to go, and that needs to go. That needs to go. That doesn't belong here in Hashem's world of Bereshit, in the creation of the world, where he created a beautiful world, a beautiful world in those 6 days where everything is magic, and Adam and Eve are walking in there, and we are the extension of Adam and Eve, and they're like, they're in paradise, literally. They are in heaven. They are in paradise. Veruach Elokim, and that is the intention of God in the creation of man. But man gets it all wrong. Like, we get it, we start dabbling with the snake, and we start dabbling with craziness and with that darkness, and that darkness then becomes inside of us. And that whole process of getting out of there and working on that and conquering the self is going back to that first question that all the commentaries ask: why does the Torah begin with Bereshit and not Achodesh Azelachem, which is the first mitzvah? Why go through this process? Koach ma'asavi gidla amo, latet laim nachalat goyim. What are these nations, the seven nations, the Canaanites, and the others were whatever it is that were in the land? Who are they and what were they? They represent the seven negative attributes which the land of Canaan refers to, which is found within us, because we're called the land. Adam is called Adama, from the land. And we've got these steep, we've got these energies inside of us. And conquering the land is conquering our own self, our own consciousness, which is the hardest thing to do. You could conquer all the nations and be a delusional maniac, which is usually the case. Then what King Solomon says, that at the end of his day, King Solomon says, I was the wise ruler of the entire world. And at the end of his day, it says he was only left with his cane that he walked on. He said, I'm only left after all that I've had. All that I've got is this. And the Talmud says that he was actually, at this point, he was the most content. Meaning, and the tzaddikim explain what is going on over here, that the cane refers to something that you lean on, our body leans on, meaning that we're doing the inner work, that we're leaning on something. You need a cane to work on, to hold you up. So when I've worked on holding myself up on my cane, on my inner self, on my inner body, my inner person, my inner emotions, my inner thought process, my inner reactions, I worked on myself. Now I'm really a king. Because beforehand, I was a king. And it's good to be the king. But now I'm really the king because I really have rulership over myself. That's King David. That's King Solomon. And that's Moshe, the great wisdom of Moshe. And that's the soul of Mashiach, which is found inside each and every one of us. That's light. That's or. And so we go through this process of going through talking. The Torah starts off and says, we're born as having to go through this process of conquest, of darkness, of transformation. It's not going to start at the beginning with the first mitzvah in the Torah, which is Achodesh Azelachem. It's going to start with Bereshit, Koach Ma'asa V'Gid La'amo, that God has taught us in from Tehillim, right? 111, which is a great number. That Koach Ma'asa, he's given the strength of his actions, La'amo, Latet La'im Nachalat, going to give him the inheritance of the nations. Who are the inheritance of the nations? The inheritance of the nations, of the physical land, is the inheritance that comes from the conquest that we do inside. Because if the nations are going to come and they're going to attack us and they're going to question us and they're going to put us down in the UN and they're going to put us down in the EU and throughout history, they're going to demean us and they're going to this and that, where we are going to say we're going against the tide. Vayi erev, vayi boker. There's night and then there's day. The Torah begins with Bereshit telling us that at the beginning, you're going to be questioned. And the role is to go and to go against the tide and to conquer the land and to realize actually that the land was always yours, because God has already given you this land. He's already given you this, which on a deeper level, the question that they're really asking is why is this land always considered yours, right? Why? You know, there's other lands that other nations have come and they've conquered, and then other nations came along and they got them out, but Israel, like, was always Israel. So now it's not Israel anymore. Like, so, you know, I don't know, the ancient Turks, if they're going to come back and they're going to say, you know, we want Iran or something, which they kind of do, I think, but they're going to tell them, get the heck out, like, get out of here. What are you talking about? But we in the Jewish people have such a connection to the land that it's like you can't get us out. It's who we are. We're called the land of Israel, which belongs to the land to Israel. And so the nations are actually saying that, and that's what Rashi says on that first verse in the Torah, that the nations are going to ask, why is this land always yours? You've been kicked out, and now, like, go do something else, or just become part of the sea of the rest of humanity, which has happened to all the other nations. That we don't, have you heard of a Roman recently? Have you heard of any smart Greeks preaching, you know, in Athens? Have you heard of any wise Persians? Definitely not. Turks, like who? Like who else still remains? Right? It's the Jewish people. Which is why, I mean, we are undergoing, we have a, God holds us up to our mission. And if we forget it, boy, don't forget it. Like, don't mess. Like, and if you read the Tanakh, right, starting from Sefer Yeshua Shoftim, right, and you go through the Tanakh and you learn, like, okay, so they were following the will of Hashem for 40 years, and then they were, after that, they didn't, and the Philistines came from the, and then that happened, and then it was like back and forth until we finally get the message that, hello, like, we get the message. We get the message. And so it's been loud and clear. The message is loud and clear. And what's that message? The message is that there are a number of messages, but the first and foremost message is that we have to fully be ourselves on the highest level, not the ego self, but our godly mission level self. Not with a thing of like, oh, you know, it's, yeah, all the pressure, and there is definitely a lot that comes with that, but it's stepping into our role, stepping into our light, being that light that each and every one of us are for our families, for our friends, for our communities, stepping into that, not waiting for someone else to be that, to fill that role, for us to initiate it, which is the essence, which is called Vahavta Lerecha Kamocha. Love the other as you love yourself. Love the other. Go out. And in the world that we were in up until now, we had a world of, what can I get from you? Fast. I will only like you if you give me something. What's in it for me? Separation. Hatred. That's the old world. That's broken. That's gone. Fine. The world that of Vahavta is a world of, how can I give? What can I give? And like we've seen this week in Israel, in staggering amounts, literally I was joking about this, but some of the soldiers were saying, stop sending us food. There's so much food, and every grandmother and every little girl, my kids, I don't know how many times they bake cookies for the soldiers. I was joking, but I was like, you know, soldiers are going to come back like, oh, yeah, I've gained 10 pounds being on the front line on the base. Like, you know, like coming back, like got to go on a diet. I was in the army, you know. It's halavai, it should be that, it, you know, and it will. But it's like you see the amount of like goodness, which is outpouring, which is tremendous. I don't know how many messages I've gotten from people from around the world and everyone that's living here in Israel, like this outpouring of love from Jews and from Gentiles from around the world, literally recognizing that the time has come, that the time has come for this to be. We're not deluding ourselves anymore. We're not crazy for believing that. We're not, what's the word for that? We're not, you know, naive. Are you naive? No, they're shooting rockets at me. They've just done like crazy things. This is not being naive. Like this doesn't work anymore. Like I get the message like very quickly. Like this is, and the way our minds work is like, well, what if, what after? And there's definitely people that are trying to throw in the wrench into that warmth that we have inside. And that is called Amalek, that tries to cool us down. That after coming out of Egypt, we were heated up and we knew that God is with us. We're riding high. Who's the Amalek? It's the other forces, and it's the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav are those souls of that have been implanted and have been here to just question and to doubt and to add strife and machloket. And the Zohar says that before Mashiach comes, all of those forces are going to go. They're going to be obliterated. The Erev Rav is going to be obliterated. The force of Amalek, which is 100% Hamas, and all of its proxies are going to be obliterated. They must be obliterated. And that's the world of giving on the truest sense, which giving, you could only fully give if you fully feel. And that feeling of fully giving comes with a contradiction of that has been taken for granted and been hijacked by groups in their own small way of feeling and seeing things, that I don't like that community or that person because they don't believe like me, and I only will like my people and my community like that. And that's a small way of giving and rejecting the other, because I could only fully give if I reject. And that's very small-minded. The true giving is rejecting negativity, not rejecting other people that don't believe like you, but rejecting horrific evil and hating it, as we're commanded to hate Amalek. The Torah says it's one of the things that we're supposed to remember every single day. Macho timche et zecher Amalek, that God's name is not full until the name of Amalek is destroyed. Macho timche et zecher Amalek. And this is a war that Moshe was entrusted to go into fight with Joshua. Moshe raised up his hands in this fight against Amalek. Every time Moshe's hands were raised up towards Hashem, they were successful. Moshe's hands went down, supported by Aaron and Hur. Then Amalek won, realizing that when we're looking up to Hashem, that we're trusting Him, that we believe in Him, we're praying to Him alone, then we win this battle. And praying to Him alone means now my heart is open beyond myself, and loving the other is just the same as loving Hashem. It's the other side of the, right, the two commandments. Loving the other and loving Hashem are two parts of the same commandment. And so this world is a world of loving kindness, of doing good deeds, of adding light in the world, of bringing bringing Hashem's light into the world. We're just a conduit for that light to shine, to become, to be, and to just allow that light to fully be by conquering, right, that land of Israel, which we are doing and which we have done, which we are ready for, right? We're all ready for that ultimate conquest, which is bringing a beautiful world, which is a type of world that we want to live in. It's a type of world that was intended at the beginning of creation. Ruach Elokim, the spirit of Hashem, merachefet al pnei amayim, was hovering over the water. What's merachefet? Rucho shel Mashiach, spirit of Mashiach. That world of kindness, of loving kindness, of light, of knowledge, is drawing from that deepest light that was hidden when that light was created at the beginning of creation. That light is now being drawn from. And that's why the land of Israel is inseparable from the Jewish people, because it's like we've already been given that. We already have that light. It's already has been given. We already have it. We're just revealing it. And the revelation of it takes conquering. But we're revealing what we already are. We're not becoming something else, in other words. Like the Mashiach that's inside of you has always been there. And that's why children are actually called Mashiachai. King David calls them Al Tigu B'Mashiachai, because when you look at a sparkle in a child's eye, that same sparkle needs to be there his or her whole life. You know, that sparkle, that little giggle, that mischievousness, that's not being taken down and worn down by the weight of living and life and challenges, but remaining that child is living Mashiach, right? Mm-hmm. Is living joy, like living actual Mashiachness, right? Where it doesn't make sense. So what? For you to have fun doesn't have to make sense. Like, you don't have to spend so much money to have fun. You could just go on a tree and like just go and, you know, and wiggle yourself and, you know, and jump off and go down, you know, somersaulting down the mountain, you know, down a hill, you know, ride your bike, right? Kids right now are very confused because of the amount of technology which is bombarding that innocence, which is part of the issue, which is a big part of the issue of finding joy and coherence is actually, it's not in the technology that we're going to find the joy and the, you know, and everything that we're really looking for. The technology is a vessel for Hashem's light, but that's not the end. And we're addicted to that technology. We're addicted to news. We're addicted to information, because only if I have the information, then I'll know what will happen, and then I will be happy because I'm safe, because I know exactly what is going on, and our mind does that to protect us, right? But the truth is, that's not where Mashiach is. Sheikh is not in the mind. Sheikh is in the heart. And in the presence that is inside of us, where if we take a moment and we center ourselves and we connect to our inner world and the entire universe, is there anything better? Because it's you. It's always been you. It's just, we're just finding ourselves and we're running away from ourselves. And we've always been there and we've always had that strength. When we've always had that love. We've always had that sparkle in our eye, even after that became diminished because of circumstances and sorrow. That's the godly soul. That's Yehi Or. That's our godly soul. The Yehi Or. And living from that perspective is possible. Not only is it possible, we're not going to rest until we have that. Until we live in that way, we will not be satisfied. And that's a promise that actually God makes, that lo yidach mimenu nidach, that in any reincarnation, they'll have to come back and then come back until you finally get it. And it says, lo yidach mimenu nidach, God will not allow, right? And we're right here, right now, we're this last generation for Mashiach. The Arizal says is the generation of coming out of Egypt, is a reincarnation of those souls. So that means that we've felt this, we've known this already, because we've been there in this world, in this life, in lifetimes ago. And we had that Amalek, and we had that Erev Rav, and we had those battles, and we had those fears. Chol Yisrael, lechol Yisrael yiyeh or b'moshevotam, that there will be light b'moshevotam, the letters Tavshin Pei Dalet in this year. Bereshit. That's the light, yeah.
You know what I was praying Sunday or Sunday? That every Jew would light up. And everybody on the point would look at the Jew with hope. Yeah. And suddenly speak about him.
Yeah.
And praying for his holy. That the Jew will show his light and you are teaching him how.
Yeah. By living that, by living Mashiach. Atigu b'mshichai, be that child inside, be that person, that light, that leader, that person right now, that can shed light upon others. That you could pick up the phone and say something. You could give someone a smile. You could donate this. You could post about this. You can help with that. You could. There's so many things that. You know, and we're worried that if I do this, will I get that back? Don't think about getting anything back. Just give. Ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha. Just give. Netina. Because that's true giving. Because up until now, we've had in the old world of the fear of giving and the fear of loving and the fear of being vulnerable. Because I will be taken for granted, advantage of, etc., not liked, disrespected. And in the new world that we're entering, it's the new world of giving. Because there's no other world to live in. There's no other world to live in besides this. Yes, where that leader is also the light, because King David Samuel says he, how did he know? Well, he didn't know about King David, but he looked into his eyes. He had beautiful eyes, blue eyes, and King David, they were like a childlike eyes.
David had blue eyes.
Had blue eyes, crystal blue, very. And he was this, he had this youthfulness within of believing in something more, which is what the youth really teach us. The youth teach us not like when you get older, like, oh, I'm stuck, I can't get out of this.
When you're young,
you can, you're, yeah, the, like, are you kidding me? Right now it's like this, but in a week it's going to be like that. In a year, it's going to be like that. When I grow up, I want to be that. I want to go to space. I want to be a fire, you know, I want to be a fireman, you know, or like those aspirations we've put a cap on because they're naive. And obviously as adults, you know, we're able to navigate and we're able to make sense of them. But everything good that ever happened in the world happened because of these types of individuals that were like, you know, what if I try to, like, you know, make a spacecraft and go out into space? Like, isn't that crazy? But I'm just going to, let's try that. And it worked. You know, what if I did, you know, created that?
All the rich people are like kids. They have the dreams and they make it be.
Yeah. And we're just beginning our lifetime in this world. We don't really believe what's possible. I mean, we're living in a time right now where AI, VR, like, technology is so advanced and so crazy. Why? Because we're about to witness so much. Like, we're going to, there's so much more to do. There's so much more goodness in the world, right? That's not a challenge. It's not a fight for one nation to do good on the back of another nation. Like, we could all do good in this collectiveness space when we get out of the limitation of
being an adult.
Exactly. Thank you. Where kids fight plenty, but, you know, but still, one kid is like, I'm still gonna be like the king of the this or that. I'm still gonna do that. And yeah, Mark.
Are we permitted to reinterpret Moshiach from the biblical imagery to the world of today, where we have modern technology? And in other words, we could reinterpret that in technology. I could, and say, okay, the Moshiach could be a starship named the Anointed One, and this is going to go out there and meet whatever and come back and bring peace to Earth.
Right.
Because of what it finds out there, it's doing what the Moshiach is supposed to have done in biblical times. But it's in modern technology.
Right. It sounds like Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll tell you what the Zohar says. The Zohar says, in the sixth millennia, which is now, right, that it says that the lower waters, talking about the flood of Noah, that the lower waters and the higher waters will come down together. And that year, which was predicted by the Zohar, the sixth millennia, in the 500 year, was actually the mid 1800s, which was right around the Industrial Revolution. So the lower waters represent the waters of technology, the waters of innovation. The higher waters are the waters of spirituality, which during that time there was the advent of the Baal Shem Tov and the advent of a lot of you know, the a lot of incredible spirituality, a lot of, you know, that came down into the world. So the lower water and the higher water coming together is not only not a contradiction, that is a prediction of the times of Mashiach.
Oh.
Because the two of them coexist as one, because God is infinite. And if you think that the microchip is unbelievable, you know, the universe, right, is that much more, right? Right? What's going on underneath our earth? What's going on in the heavens? The interconnection of nature on all levels. Our consciousness is limited, right? We haven't gone there. We've gone to a lot of technical learning, but we've just begun. But we're worried because, you know, how is it all going to work out? How is the world going to sustain itself? And, you know, the climate and this and that. And we're like, and at the same time, we're eating each other up. And instead of like, let's find solutions and be environmentally friendly, right? And be loving to each other, right? Yeah. Jane?
I was just going to make a comment that the merging of the lower waters and the upper waters is what you're experiencing right now in this specific moment. You're using the lower waters of the internet and the higher waters of Kabbalah, and they have merged together in order to bring wisdom down, totally. So or disseminate information. So we experience it every day. We're just blind to it because we don't really even take it at its essence, right?
It's
so
unbelievable.
The issue is not, issue is not necessarily that we are that we're not experiencing. The issue is that we're not recognizing it.
It's unbelievable. You know, I will thank you for that reminder, because think about this. If this happened 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago, how freaked out would we all be? Right? Sitting in our this and that. But meanwhile, on our just like our WhatsApp group, it's like we're sending so much positivity, like positivity bombs, like to each other. Are you kidding me? You're not alone. We're all in it together. Like, we love each other. You're seeing like people on the front lines. You're seeing like this and that. Like, we're connected. Whereas like in the past, we our own like Amalek, whatever. So technology is a blessing. It is such a blessing that we could now learn, and we can now understand, and we could connect, and we could listen to, right? It could be confusing. And obviously what we choose, what we want to listen to is essential, which is part of the whole confusion of like the Gog and Magog era that we're in, which is the whole confusion of staying focused and staying in learning what will truly sustain your soul during this time, not what will corrupt it or, right, erode it potentially with harmful images and videos, which we should not do, because that's all a tactic by the Hamas to add scary images and fear, horror. That's not where we want to go. That's not how we want to use technology, because that's usurping the negativity of it. Whereas we choose to use technology for inspiration, for Torah learning, for loving each other, for calling up my friend, for giving, you know, for a million and one things that we could use it for. And now is the time of how are we using it? And we're seeing this throughout the internet, and it's very, very apparent. it's a line. Or v'choshech, there's light and darkness. And you're seeing people taking a side. You're taking a side either way. You cannot be silent. Not now. In 1943, a lot of people were silent. They were like, I believe that. But like in the tweets that they were putting out in 1943 style to their friends and their, in the people in the bars, putting out a very different, hateful tweet towards the Jewish people in Germany and whatnot. But now, if you're tweeting that, well, you're probably not sitting, your friends are online. And so your friends are all, we all know what you're tweeting, and we all know what your opinions are. And it's very obvious. And you're taking a stance. You're either with us, you're either in the light, or you're in the darkness. It's just that simple. You know, for a former president to go right now and to attack what the prime minister is doing, and if I was president, this and that, who asked you to say anything right now? You're delusional. You know, you're a power, like, enough is enough. You did what you had to. Fine. Good. Next. No divisiveness. We don't want divisiveness anymore. That loud mouth does not work anymore. We want peace. We want positivity. Don't want fights. So all the sheker, all the like comes out. And I actually, voted for, I would live in Israel, because I think at that point, Hashem put him there for the sake of whatever, having the embassy in Israel and whatnot and the Golan, whatever. But it's right now, all the loud mouths or the people that are standing up like the boxer, Mayflower, what's his name? Like taking his private jet and sending goods to Israel, like nations, good-hearted nations in the world supporting Israel. And all of those darkness, all the darkness is coming out. And we're like, oh, now I see you. Because there's light and there's darkness. And you're saying that you're light, you're darkness. That's not light that you have. Like the Germans in 1943, they weren't light. They were the darkest. They were listening to Chopin, to operas, and they were butchering. That's sophisticated. That's light. The greatest darkness, and you should be ashamed. Which is why Germany actually came along and they stopped. They said to the Palestinians, "We're not giving you any more money. Sorry, big daddy or mommy. We're not handing out money so that you could create more shahids and on our budget. Like, are you kidding me? Like, we're supporting this industry." All in the name of like light, in the name of progression, save Palestine. If you're saying save Palestine now, and you're not saying how horrific the atrocities that Hamas has done, and you're saying save Palestine, you can't answer a question.
Did you by chance see that that reel that Rabbi YY did on a comment to my far left brethren? Did you see that?
No, not
I'll
yet.
I'll forward it to you. It is okay. Phenomenal.
Well, now's the time. Now's the time that we're seeing this and we're stepping into it. We may have been deluded before, but now we're all one. It's not about a party. It's not about Republican or Democrat. Like, forget that. Who cares? You're the right, you're left, you're religious. Who cares? Like, enough of that. Like, we've been there, done that. Yala, hala. Like, we're going on. We're in the war together. We're brothers and sisters together. One world together. Who cares what party you who cares? Like, so you're that religion? So what? Are you a good person? Or are you a maniac? Like, what are you? You know, and you have and we have a lot of maniacs in the world, and we have to like call it out. Be like, this is crazy. And I'm standing with a light, and I believe in the light, and part of the light is to shine, and I'm going to scream. And even though this darkness is going to be, I don't care what you say, what you think. Like actually Begin did this in the wars that he was in. If the whole world doesn't like what we say or what we do, they'll have a crooked nose. So he said, so they'll have a crooked nose. And a lot of that type of way of doing things, which was done in Israel since 1948, and the leadership that they had of like standing very firmly and unequivocally as this is the line, without the moral correctness and the advancedness of all of the geniuses, all of the enlightened darkness that's there. Elisheva.
Sorry, trying to figure out how to come on. Hi there. Good to see you. Glad you're safe. Yeah, I think just exactly along the lines that you're going right now, you know, how do we speak, you know, in words, and the words we use, every word, you know, holds so much power and so much conveyance, and the tone and the soul behind it. And that's, you know, so much of what you've shared is really speaking to me, you know, about the soul and the kavanah behind, you know, what we are speaking, the light that we are putting into the words that we speak. But then just really practically, you know, how do we speak? How do we speak to the other people that we know that are not Jewish? Maybe they are Palestinian, but maybe they are pro-Israel, you know, or maybe they're not.
So
and just how do we speak to this?
So there was a blogger, a very influential blogger called Nass. Nass Daily puts out, he has, I don't know, I think like 20 million people that follow him. And he's a Palestinian Israeli. So he said, up until now, I viewed myself as Palestinian Israeli. After this, I view myself as Israeli Palestinian. And he shared this throughout his platform. People like Elon Musk, right, that are calling out the IOT, whatever, Toya, whatever, Yumeini, they're calling things out, that this is, we're gonna delete that. We're gonna delete what you just posted. That is evil. And they've deleted tens of thousands of fake accounts like that. And in a way, like, we have to do the same thing. Like, we're either, how are we, you could be Palestinian. There's not, and not only that, you know, there's, we as the Jewish people are so loving and open and giving. And the question is, like, what side of the fence are you on? Are you on the side of the fence of free Palestine first? Because if you're saying that first, there's a problem. Because if you can't understand the trauma, the deep trauma and the deep pain that we are all going through here in Israel and in the world, and you're saying free Palestine, you're not an enlightened human rights individual. If you care first about Gaza, what's going on there, versus how are we going to get rid of this evil snake, which must be gotten rid of completely? The Torah says, "Machot imchet zech Amalek." Go after them. The Torah says that. It's a tzivui in the Torah to go after them, to kill them. That's what we have to take care of first. So we have to take care of what we have to take care of first, and realize that we can't be politically correct all the time and be on all sides. Palestinian, Israel, it's like, no, you're not, there's no political correctness. It's like, either you believe this, either you're with us, right? Or you're not. It's not 1943 anymore. It's 2023 now, where people's opinion, right? Leaders' opinion are loud and clear because we've got the internet. We've got all of these social channels, which are broadcasting day and night, right? And right now it's like, it's a war of light against darkness. And we're all on the front line, my friends. We're all on the front line.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. I just had to take my grandmother to the airport, and the person checking her in was Palestinian Muslim. And she saw my Hamsa. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, it's good what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm sorry, you know. And she said, you're Jewish. And I said, yes, I'm Jewish. And she said, you deserve what you're getting right now.
Oh my gosh.
And it was such a call in that moment. How do I speak? What do I say? And then another pastor man comes with the wheelchair for my grandmother, and I'm to hand her over to him to wheel her away, all in the same moment. Right. And I thought, okay, Hashem, you're giving me this moment. Give me the words. What do I say? How do I speak in truth? How do I speak in light to the ignorance, you know? We're going to be there.
I'll tell you, I feel for you so much, but we don't stoop to that level. We're much smarter. We're much smarter. That does not convey any. So our approach would be to call the airline to get that guy, excuse my French, fired, and we'll see how good he. The problem is anti-Semitism is hatred and prejudice is, it's not a personal. It's like these people are so dark, and they're so beyond that. You know, like, obviously there's different levels, but someone like that, it's like, you know what? Yeah. You should be out of a job.
The weird thing was that Hashem also gave me the light of her neshama. Like I could see light in her, and I didn't want to see it, but I could see it. And I could see that she was just strongly misinformed, you know, strongly didn't know, felt that this is how Israel had been treating her people, and didn't know. And I did say to her, I said, you mean and I listed some of the things, the horrific things that had happened. You mean that is right? And she said, that's what Israel's been doing to us forever. I said, I don't have any memory of that ever happening. And that was the last thing I said. And then I prayed and davened. But these are the situations, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think there is a lot of misinformation for everyone. Nobody understands. It's a very complex situation. And even if we, you know, for all of us, we know the truth. And yet, you know, I feel a purpose on my neshama to be a light and to shine light where there's darkness, and not just to call it darkness and turn away from it. So, and I wouldn't have been given that situation if it weren't that way. At the same time, I am praying, give me the words, give me the knowing of how to speak, what to say, and to whom.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. It's very difficult, and we're not always able to really answer on that level. And again, but doing things strategically with our minds, that also doing away with the darkness is having this person really just face themselves by potentially having the consequence of speaking like that to a customer, which is absolutely wrong on any business level. So we're talking about over here just on a purely professional level, which is the way the world is supposed to operate. we could deal with, and that's the thing. Anti-Semitism cannot hide its ugly head anymore. Like, that is anti-Semitism and ignorance, which is the same, basically.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Let's use this opportunity for maybe in this like next like minute or two for to just maybe throw out a couple of prayers together. So if it's okay, I'm gonna say maybe some of the words of King David in Psalms, which is the strongest things to say. I heard a very beautiful interpretation from there's a tzaddik that's living in this generation. It's called the Yanuka. And he's a very big Talmid Chacham. And so he says that, why is Yishmael called Yishmael? So Yishmael comes from the word Yishmael, that God will listen, that when things are going, when they're doing things, they're basically telling us that we've got to pray. Yishmael, that this is happening because Yishmael, because we need to pray. And when we pray, then we're able to subdue their klipa. We're able to subdue their evil negative husk.
So we don't do the job, that's why they wake us.
Yeah, so by prayer, right? So the power of prayer is the power of Yishmael. So at the end of
he did
do tshuva, I think, at the end of his life.
So how he brought up seeds of not in tshuva?
Yeah.
What went wrong there?
Something went really wrong. So it's Psalm 130. Shira ma'alot mimamakim katicha adinai adinai shema bekoli. Yena uznecha kashuvot lekol tachanunai im abunot yishmor yadinai mi yamod. כי מחה סליחה למתי ברכיביתי אדוני קיבתה נפשי ולדבר אוכלתי נפשי לאדוני שומרים לבוקר שומרים לבוקר יחל ישראל עם אדוני כי עם אדוני חסד והרבה עם אופדות והוא יפדה את ישראל מכל אבונותיו. Rabbi Nachman says that when Mashiach comes, he will not conquer the world, not with even one bullet. He'll conquer the world with prayer. And the bullets and the missiles is the book of Tehillim, which are called missiles, in fact. So we have the power of using
I used to be a missile technician. Now I'm
you're a technician. That's crazy. That's amazing. That's amazing. Where you're a prayer machine.
Yeah.
All right, my friends. So I want to bless us all with a new year of Bereshit, a new us, a new beginning for the world, new beginning for each and every one of our loved ones, and each and every one of those that we care for, and our friends and our communities, in our societies, and the world around us, right? A new beginning, Bereshit. It's all starting again, and we ended the Torah on Simchat Torah abruptly, very abruptly. Our celebrations of the old Torah were the celebration of the old Torah is saying now starting with a new Torah. Now we're starting with something new beginning. Bereshit, right? We're ending off, the Torah ends off with a letter Lamed, and it starts with a letter Bet, which spells out what? Lev, right? Starting a world of Lev Tov, of loving each other. We ended the Torah with a Lamed, that's there, and we're starting again with the letter Bet, Lev Tov, and having that good heart, that connection to each other. The heart is interconnected. So love you all, And really, and love, much love to all of the world, really to all of us. And many, many blessings. May Hashem protect us all and you all and all of us and all of our loved ones. God bless everyone. Shabbat Tova. Shabbat Shalom.